God's peace is always yours in Jesus. Hear the word of God from Genesis 22. The Lord said to Abraham, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will show you." When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on top of the wood. Abraham then reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham, do not lay a hand on the boy. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your only son." Dear friends in Christ, what Abraham was asked to do, God's done. He's offered up his only son. In Genesis 12, God stripped Abraham of his past, saying, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's house, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and all of the nations of the earth will be blessed through you." So Abraham left as the Lord had told him. No matter what, faith, vulnerable confidence, all or nothing trust, believing without evidence. Genesis 15 says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. But now God comes back a second time, and this time to strip Abraham of his future, with a request that would send painful shivers down the spine of any parent. Genesis 22, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on the mountain I will show you." The God who promised, "I will give you and Sarah a son from your own body, through whom all the nations of the world will be blessed," and kept his promise when Isaac was born, becomes the God of a dreadful command. "Take your son, your only son, whom you love, and sacrifice him as a burnt offering." The loving Lord makes an outrageous request that demands faith or drives one to bitter unbelief. So what's it going to be for Abraham, you, and me? What the Lord wants to give Abraham and each of us is a no matter what faith, vulnerable confidence, all or nothing trust, believing without evidence. The Lord won't let you ride the fence. You'll either truly trust in Jesus and save your life, or you'll blow off Jesus and lose your life. I admit, holding on to Jesus with a no matter what faith isn't easy, especially when all of the evidence in your life seems to be shouting God doesn't care. Sufferings that defy explanation, prayers that go unanswered. But what gives us a no matter what faith is that we have a no matter what Savior. Hebrews 7, Jesus died once and for all, no matter what you and I have done. 1 John 1, 7, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness, no matter what sins we've committed. Jesus went to hell and back to save us, no matter what. Mark 15, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus already defeated the devil for us, no matter what. Revelation 12, we overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb. And since death did not defeat Jesus, it will not defeat us, no matter what. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live, even if he dies. What gives us a no matter what faith is that we have a no matter what Savior. The reason the Lord sends terrible testings and allows us to face problems we cannot solve is to drive us back to Him. so that he can meet our trials and our testings with his grace and mercy. And through that process, what he's actually working in us is a no matter what faith, all or nothing trust, believing without evidence. As contrary as it may sound, God allows or even sends sufferings to strengthen our faith by driving us to the point that we have no one else to turn to but Jesus. So who's it going to be, Abraham? Will it be me or will it be Isaac? But then the Lord rescues us in the midst of the trial, even if the only rescue he gives us is his death and resurrection, so that we're left with drop-dead trust in our crucified and risen Savior Jesus, who alone can save us. Faith is drop-dead trust that Jesus is our Savior because of his forgiving death and victorious resurrection, even when all of the other evidence in our life seems to be shouting, God doesn't care. No matter what faith lays itself empty-handed in the crucified and risen hands of Jesus. This is the kind of faith the Lord wants to work in each of us. He worked it in Job, who, even after Job lost everything, confessed in Job 13, "Even if the Lord slays me, yet will I trust in him." And God worked faith in Abraham. Hebrews 11 says, Abraham reasoned that, if necessary, God could even raise the dead. And figuratively speaking, Abraham received Isaac back from death. At Mount Moriah, the place of sacrifice, Abraham says, "I and the boy will go over there. We will worship and we will return." Notice, this is huge. Abraham says, "We will return," even though God told him to sacrifice Isaac. In some way or another, Abraham believes in the resurrection of the dead, even if it has to come to that. Abraham reasoned, "Even if I have to kill my son, God will give him back to me." How can you know that? He promised he would, and he backed up his promise by rising again. So with nothing else to pin his hopes on, except the promises of God, the next morning Abraham woke Isaac up. You can imagine the excruciating pain of walking your own son to his death. A pain that could only be overcome with a faith that knows God to be a loving Savior. They left the tent, gathered the firewood, and headed to Mount Moriah. Loving father, obedient son. What we are seeing is a picture of our Heavenly Father walking Jesus to the cross. God asked Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac on Mount Moriah. What you may not know is that Mount Calvary was located on Mount Moriah. What Abraham and Isaac are doing is to show us what God the Father and God the Son are doing. Genesis 22, Abraham placed the wood for sacrifice on Isaac's back and headed to Mount Moriah. John 19, and they placed a wooden cross on his back and led Jesus to the place of the skull. Genesis 22, Abraham took his son, his only son, and laid him on top of the wood to sacrifice him. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And Acts 2, they nailed him to a cross, a wooden cross. At the foot of the mountain, Isaac asked his daddy, "Father, the fire and the wood are here, but where's the lamb?" Abraham said, "God will provide the lamb." Jesus asked his daddy in Gethsemane, "Father, if it be thy will, take this cup from me. Father, where's the lamb?" And God said, "You're the lamb. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John 1. Isaiah 53, he was led like a lamb to the slaughter. Luther wrote, Abraham must have cried out, "God, you can't do this. You promised you would save the world through my seed, Isaac. You can't go against your word." And so I believe that even if you take my son, somehow you will keep your promise to save the world through my seed, even if you have to raise my son back from the dead. That's the kind of faith God's trying to work in us. One day, Katie Luther came to Martin Luther very upset. She had just read Genesis 22. And she couldn't understand why God would ask Abraham to sacrifice his only son, Isaac. Luther answered, "My dear Katie, if you consider it unforgivable that God would ask Abraham to sacrifice his son, then it is equally unforgivable that you should expect God to sacrifice his only son, Jesus, for you." What God was actually doing was showing Abraham and each of us how he was going to sacrifice his only son, Jesus, in our place. And now comes the decisive moment. Abraham bound his son to the altar. Psalm 22 says of Jesus, they nailed his hands and feet. Genesis 22 says Isaac spoke no words. Isaiah 53 says, as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he, Jesus, did not open his mouth. As Abraham lifts his knife for the fatal plunge, the angel of the Lord intervened, saying, "Abraham, Abraham, do not lay a hand on the child." But do you know who the angel of the Lord is? It's not an ordinary angel. The angel in the Lord of the Lord in the Old Testament who stopped Abraham, it is Jesus Christ himself. The one who stops Abraham from sacrificing his son is God's son who will be sacrificed for us. The angel of the Lord then pointed Abraham to a ram, a male lamb, caught in a thicket of thorns. It's almost as if the angel of the Lord was pointing Abraham to himself. Matthew 27 says they twisted together a crown of thorns and pressed it on Jesus' head. So Abraham took the male lamb and sacrificed it as a substitute for Isaac's life. 1 Peter 1 says, "You were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect." In the end, the angel of the Lord, Jesus himself, stopped the knife from plunging into Isaac. But on Good Friday, God told all the angels to stand down. The order to rescue Jesus from the cross never came. Jesus said himself, "Do you not know that I could call upon my Father in heaven, and he would at once send more than 72,000 angels to deliver me? But how would the scriptures be fulfilled that say I must die?" And so on Good Friday, the knife fell so that you and I could live. Why repent of our sins? Why turn away from those sins we love so much? Not only so that Jesus' death will not have been in vain, but so that you and I may receive the benefit of his saving death. You see, Jesus got nailed for our sins so that we don't have to keep nailing ourselves for them. But even more, when Jesus got crucified, it was really the devil that got nailed. Revelation 12 says, "We overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb." Let me ask you this. If the things you and I think are so important in life were removed, your sports, your cars, money, health, power, pleasures, treasures, maybe even a loved one, would Jesus still be your Savior? The answer is absolutely. But sometimes he has to take some of those things away, at least for a while, to get us to see that Jesus is the only Savior we have, and the life he gives is the only life worth living. Jesus' life is your righteousness. His death is your forgiveness. His resurrection is your life. His heaven is your home. And in the end, nothing else matters but that God gave his only son to save you. So why did God put Abraham through such an excruciating test? He did it to show us, in the starkest of terms, what he gave up for us. They say the worst pain a person can experience is the loss of a child. Even then, God knows your pain and has come to save you from it. God knows what it's like to lose a child. But he lost his child so that you could have yours back. Can you imagine the pain the father was going through on that Good Friday for you and me? His heart must have been convulsing in pain as he laid his son, his only son, whom he loved, Jesus, on the wood of the altar of the cross. And God damned his only son with our damnation. But it is that love, God's no matter what love, that gives us a no matter what faith. So why the drama? God was impressing upon Abraham, Isaac, and each of us, don't ever forget what I gave up for you. I never intended to hurt Isaac, but I had to impress upon Abraham and everyone in no uncertain terms what I had to give up to save you. My only son, my son, whom I love. But I gave him up so that you would know my love for you. It ripped my heart to shreds to nail my son to the cross, but it was the only way to save you. Yes, I gave that test to Abraham, so that when I nailed my only son to the cross, the whole world would know how much I love you. No matter what you may face in this life, no matter what you may suffer in this life, I didn't spare my son, but gave him up to save you, no matter what. What Abraham was asked to do, God's done. He's offered up his only son.